Welcome to the Cedar House Church Sermon of the Week. Our desire is to remain in God's presence, explore His passions, and supply tools that serve and inspire our city.
For coming. This morning, this is a hard subject for me to speak on. You know, when this was coming to me, if I had my way, I would have said, God, maybe can you just twist it a little bit, give me another message. But the times that we are in, it is important that we hear this. And so I will do my best with the help of the Holy Spirit to say the best I know how. And it's my prayer that He will just speak to you the way He wants you to understand it. Not the way I'm trying to articulate it, but the way He wants to. So I was trying to get some videos, but I don't want to bore you with a lot of videos. So I had this little clip that I want to share, and I will ask, you know, questions. If last week you were here, we talked about worldview, right? You know, the things that define us, what is around us, you know, the way we perceive things, the way we do things because of what, maybe how we've been brought up and all those stuff. We talked about that. So today I sense the need to continue, but it will shift a little bit away from that. So last week what we did was I sense the need for us to have interaction. So when I spoke, I gave the microphone to people, you know, the congregation, that what God was putting on your heart to share, to just, you know, just few minutes and not a big sermon, but just to say something little. And Dr. Nash spoke, several people spoke. We will be going the route today. The same. So if I get to somewhere that I need you to say something, feel free. I'll just walk over to you if your hand is up, and I'll give the microphone to you, and you speak. So it will not just be me speaking here alone. Is that okay? Good. Good. All right. So this video, I know some of you know. So after this, I will ask what kind of video is that. And then you tell me. So we will do a little interaction here. All right. Thank you. By the way, my beautiful wife is the one taking care of this. So give a clap offering. All right. Okay. Yeah.
Replenish.
All right. So, what was that? Can somebody tell me what movie that is? Thank you. Titanic. Oh my goodness, you guys are wonderful. Yes, Titanic. I wanted to show that, you know, to connect that to what I'm going to speak on today. Now, before I move on, let me ask another question. Let's say you work for a company, you know, in a different city, and your boss has told you several times, I'll be coming to visit you. Your boss is in another city, but I'll be coming to visit. I'll be coming to visit, but has not given you a specific day that, okay, like I'm going to come Tuesday. No, all you know is I'm going to visit you. What do you think will be going through your mind? What would you be doing? I want you to help me here. What would you be doing if your boss is coming to visit you? If you need to talk, it's okay.
Preparing.
Good. She said preparing, right? So in your mind, I'm sure there's so many things that will be going through the mind. Okay, why is he coming? Is my job satisfactory? Am I doing a bad job, a good job? What is going on? So you will be preparing if you know what's going on. It's the same way today. I want to speak on this. Now, I am not a teacher of doom and gloom. That is why I said this is a little hard, but I'm going to say it as the Lord directs. So my intention is not to scare you or overwhelm you with what is going on in this world as we live in, but to just shed a little light on it so that you will go deeper with God. That is my intention. So you will go deeper with God. Not to scare you. No. No, overwhelm you. So if you don't have a stomach for stuff that I'm saying that you think is overwhelming, just close your ears. Don't listen to me. I am okay with that. But if you can do it too, just listen. And if you have anything to add to what we are saying, we will give you the microphone. Are we good? God bless you. All right. I use that boss because the one that we are serving said he will come back. But the fact is, he did not specifically say, I will come on June 25th, 2030. He did not. But he said, I will come back. And because he said that, what are we supposed to be doing? Thank you. Preparing. I like this. This is good. All right. So today my topic is understanding the times. Understanding the times. This is a broad, vast, you know, thing to talk about, but I'm asking the Holy Spirit to just nitpick certain things. And so when you get a chance to go home, you know, you do your own digging. And then, you know, let the Spirit of God speak to you how you are supposed to prepare for him. All right. So we'll be talking about what times we live in. Can this time that we live in be compared to the olden times? Olden days, what happened in the Bible? Can it be compared to that? What are we supposed to do at this time? What people are we supposed to be? So I'll be talking about stuff like this. Now, the reason why I was saying all this thing is that if you read the scripture, the Bible says that the people of Issachar, they had understanding of the times. Issachar had understanding of the times. Why? Because they were people that had wisdom. They used wisdom to discern what was going on in their days. So they were able to perceive and live accordingly. And so my goal, my prayer today is that we will be like the people of Issachar, right? And understand the times that we are living in. Paul admonished us to know the times. Romans chapter 13, 11 to 14. This is just some scriptures that I'm throwing out there, but main one will be coming shortly. Do this knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, and not in sexual promiscuity, but sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh. And make no provision for the flesh in regard to its what? Lust. When you talk about preparing, Jesus also used this parable to talk to certain people in his days. The 10 virgins, you remember those, right? 10 virgins that were waiting for the bridegroom, right? And the scripture, Jesus said, 5 of them had oil, the other 5 did not. So in their mind, they thought, you know, I think we're all right. He said he's coming. So I think the oil that we have is good enough for us to be able to sustain ourselves when he comes. But the scripture said, Jesus said that they were there, and at night they heard the noise. The bridegroom is here. And what happened? They got up. They fell asleep, but they got up. But the lampstand had no oil. It was gone. And so they went to the other ones that had extra oil. Can we have it? And what they were told is, no, you have to go and find your own. So by the time they went to come back, the door was already shut. The door was already shut. Now look at what is going on now. Do we have that oil in there, in the lampstand? Or we are just going about our business. I am comparing this day to some time ago in the Bible. Now Jesus said that. So we will be reading. Luke chapter 17, verse 26 to 30. Luke 17, 26 to 30. What I said is, we don't know the exact day. Nobody can know that. Nobody can know. But then there are some signs. Jesus says some things as clue to us to keep us on track that I am coming. But some things might happen. That doesn't mean when those things happen that particular time I'll be there. But there are some things that will usher in my coming. And as it happens in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating. They were drinking. They were marrying. They were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day the Lord went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. So this is a scripture that is comparing the times that we live in to the times of what? Noah. So what was going on during that time of Noah that can be compared to the times that we live in now? We will be going through some things. Now let me ask you this question. What do you think is the major reason that God destroyed that time with the flood? What it? Somebody's hand is up. Hallelujah.
Let's give it to you. Do we have another mic? It's all right. We will walk here and give it to you.
He had had his fill of the sin.
Yes. Good.
I think I might need the volunteer. So you give the microphone to people for me. Is that okay? Who can be a volunteer for me? Thank you. Yes. So that the interaction, you know, I can continue and not have to walk all the way back there. All right. Sin. She said sin. But I want us to read some scripture and see one of the major reasons that God, sitting up there, said, no, I am tired of man. The sin of man is so great that I am going to destroy man. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 to 13. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God. The earth was filled with violence. Do you see that word there? Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. You see, he's repeating the same word again. Okay, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. So because of that, he was about to destroy everything that he had created. Because of what? Violence. I just want to read a little statistics in our days. So if violence were going on, imagine that made God angry. And he said he was going to destroy the earth. What is going on in our days? Do you see violence everywhere? It's like it's on a higher scale, mask around the world. So I'm just going to give you little statistics. You know, I did not know there's a word. This word is atrocitologist. Atrocities, you know, atrocities. And they came out with atrocitologist. I didn't know there's a word like that when I was digging, trying to find out what is going on around the world and connected to this. So I'm going to speak about maybe two of atrocitologists, those who have been able to compile, you know, things that are going on, the violence that are going on. So you would know the times, you know, that we are living in. You are aware of it. This is just to shed light on it so that, you know, the way you are living, you will decide to give it a notch, you know, move up a little bit, go deeper than you are doing. All right. This guy is Matthew White. He wrote a historical atlas of the 20th century in 2010, and he titled it Death by War. And he estimated that about 203 million people have been killed in the first half of the 20th century. 208 million. That is why I say, if you don't have stomach, I'm not the teacher of doom and gloom, but I just want to bring certain things to light for you to see where we are now. Because there's not a single day you don't turn the TV on or the radio without hearing this. Something has happened to this, somebody has been shot, somebody has this and that. And if in those days this was going on and God looked at it and he just was grieved and decided to do something about it, how much more our time would he not? All right. This guy's name is, you know, it's a Russian name, so I will try my best to say it. All right. It's Benil Brzezinski. I think it's called Brzezinski, you know, B-R-Z-E-Z-I-N-S-K-I. Okay, somebody gives me a thumb up. Good. That means I was able to say it right. Now, this is what he said. He's also one of the people that compiled stuff. And he said, he has something written, said, out of control, global turmoil on the eve of the 21st century. Lives deliberately extinguished by politically motivated carnage. And he estimated that to be 167 million to 175 million. So people, political motivated carnage, you know, governments, I don't like you, I don't like that, you know, what is going on in the heart of man. So them destroying other people. That is how many, he said. I just want to read another one and I'll move on. I think this is too much to bear, right? Okay. Impact of media violence. Impact of media violence. It is estimated that a typical child in United States, not around the world, United States, will view more than 200,000 acts of violence in a year, including 16,000 murders in television before they turn 18 years old. So that time there was violence, and God was not happy with that. But our age that we are living in, if we are understanding the times, can this be compared with what was happening that time? Can we compare this to that time? Oh, I'm not hearing you. Okay. All right. So this study found out that, you know, 50% of music, video, you know, music videos contain personal violence. So what our kids are watching, these music videos, somebody dancing and doing all this stuff, what are they taking out of it? The generation that we live in, we are captured by video. During the Roman Empire and all these times, they probably had art or maybe reading. But our generation now, they catch it in video. So you go to the internet, and it's also saying that access to video games and internet. So you watch this little kid sit down, and then all that they are doing is pointing a gun at somebody and shooting at them. What is it doing? This is where we are. Violence. So everywhere you turn, it is going on. All right. I am moving on to this. From this, because it's just too much to bear. During that time, the heart of the people, God gave man choice. Okay, God created the universe and he gave them choices. Good, and then bad. But when you read the scripture, the Bible says that the imaginations, even at the heart of man, was evil. So during that time, everything they could think about was evil. How can I sabotage this person? How can I kill this person? How can I do this? How can I scheme this person? Every intent of the heart of man during that time was evil. So let's fast forward to our time now. Do we see that going on today? Do we? Oh, if you need to say shed light on it, I will give you the microphone, okay? Just feel free to say it, what you are seeing today. All right. So it is going on now. I showed Titanic because when that happened, when the Titanic was built, it was like, oh my God. Something has never happened like this before. This is so special. So the rich folks and people that were wealthy, you know, a lot of people wanted to do something they have not done probably in their life before. So they all got in there. So what was happening? They were eating, drinking. Business was as usual. As business is as usual for us now. It was like that for them. But at some point in time, because business was as usual and they were not spiritually, a lot of them inclined, those people that were steering this whatever ship, I don't know if they didn't see that they were going somewhere that they are not supposed to go, or maybe they were just blinded by the life of enjoyment or whatever was going on. I don't know. But before they realized what has happened, right there, the iceberg, it was hitting it and they were going. Jesus said that, like as in the days of Noah, they were given in marriage. They ate. They were drinking. They were doing everything that people do. I am not saying don't eat food, okay? I am not telling you that it's good to eat. I love to eat. But what he was implying is, it was business as usual. And for that matter, people did not really pay attention to the things of God. Yes. You said something?
No, I said keep preaching.
Okay. All right. Thank you. They did not pay attention to what was what? Going on. And they ended up going places that they didn't want to go. The devil can keep us so busy and preoccupied so that we have little or no time for God and the things of God. He will keep our mind occupied. You know, if I can get them to get occupied about this, then this that is important to them will not be. Because they are over here trying to figure out how can I get the next gadget? How can I get the next thing that is in town? How can I do this? But not really paying attention. What is it? No. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't go and get the nice cars. Please, get it if you have the money. You see those nice things. If you have the money, do it. I'm just trying to clarify something here. It is good to have good things. Okay? It's a blessing from God. When you have the means to do it, do it. But what I'm saying is, when we get consumed by that, and all our intentions, everything that we want to do, we wake up and the thoughts that are coming in, when can I have this? How am I going to get this? But we don't have thought of, okay, Father, I thank you, I'm alive today. What is it that you want me today? How can I be a blessing to somebody? How can I be? See, the things of God, when we don't do those things, it leads us to where it's not supposed to be. Jesus, Hosea, said something, and that was the time of the Israelites. He said this, and I'm going to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea, okay. Hosea 4, you have it? All right. Now, in a nutshell, okay, listening to the word of God, listening to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness. There are key words there, you know. So as I'm reading, you pay attention to those. There is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore, the land mourns. Do you hear that? That was the time God was speaking to them, that because of that, the land is mourning and everyone who lives in it languishes. This is the time that we live in. Okay, and with the beast of the field and the birds of the sky and also the fish of the sea. So the land itself mourns because of what is going on. I live in America, so I try not to bash America, okay? But I have to say it. Is that okay? Good. America has been a beacon of light to a lot of nations, missionaries, people traveling here and there. Some of us even, you know, got saved because a missionary, Reinhard Bonnke, moved from America, right? Came to do a crusade there. And some of us got saved. So America has done great things for us. We appreciate that. But look at where we are now. What is going on? Would you want to help me say something about it?
Blasphemy.
Thank you. She said blasphemy. Right? Everywhere you turn around, and it's amazing. Go to Target. I'm not bashing Target. Target, okay? But you go there and you will see some stuff. Heads of, I don't know, the devil or whatever it is. We have kids that are going there, seeing all this. So it's like right in your face. She said blasphemy. We don't hide it anymore. So if you think those times that God spoke to them about their life, what was going on was bad, imagine where we live now. I'm not saying there's no good thing happening today. A lot is happening. But I'm just saying, laying emphasis on what the Spirit of God wants me to bring out today. And I'm going to say it as it is. Are you okay with that? Thank you. All right. So, blasphemy. What else is going on here? Now, it is happening all over the world. But because America has been, like, you know, a nation that has done this, gone to the influence that we have in other nations, things that we start here that are positive, a lot of times go to other nations. When we start negative things, things that are not worthy of God, it is also able to what? Go. And so when I say America, understand that I'm talking about the world, but it is prevalent here because we are transporting all this to other nations. Blasphemy. Anything else that you want to say? The mic is there. I will just wait for a second if you have anything to say. All right. Somebody's hand is over. Yes. Thank you. Brad, right? Good.
So something that started here in America really started the use of God. The internet is something that you said the word watch a little while ago. And the things that we watch has changed everything. Where Jesus used the word watch,
yes,
in the gospel, watch that we don't know the hour that the master is coming back. We could live our life watching, but still going on and living our life the way we plan on it with our businesses or whatever it may be, but still watching for the master.
Yeah.
Staying in a posture of watching.
Thank you. Anybody else want to add something to it?
when we talked about the Titanic,
yeah,
as far as that was concerned, the Titanic, when it was built, they said that it was indestructible, could not be destroyed.
Thank you.
And so God showed in that movie right then and there,
yes,
it was not indestructible.
Thank you.
That it could have been destroyed. And a lot of us have caught hold to a lot of things in this world, and we believe that we cannot be destroyed, or we are indestructible. A lot of these young people and the things that they do and the few things that they start, you know, the groups that they are connected to, they believe that they are indestructible.
Thank you. Thank you. That is amazing. So you see, if you look at it now, America as it is, our mind is locked. We have it going on. It is business as usual, right? Nothing is going to happen to us. Because, you know, we are the greatest nation on earth. The wealthiest nation on earth. We, you know, you can add a list on and on and on. And so we have slowly pushed God aside and have manufactured our own God. You want to say something, please? Thank you.
There's so much arrogance. Nobody's humble anymore. And it kind of goes with what you were saying about they were so arrogant to build the Titanic to think that it was indestructible. And we get arrogant and there's no humility. And so we consume and build and chase all the sparkly, shiny things that distract us.
Thank you. So you see, she's saying arrogant, pride. I don't have to tell you what man this is. Somebody say, I know. I know too. I know too. But you know, I'm just saying, you see, the things that God detests, that he doesn't want, those are the things that we want to do. These are the times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, 2. I believe I gave you the scripture. Let's read something. Beloved, we are talking about understanding the times. Now, I could go deeper about this, talking about Israel being formed as a nation and all this stuff. But today, I want to just dwell on the sin, the prevalence of things that are not worthy of God that is happening, okay? So you go and let the Spirit speak to you as you dig deeper about what is going on. All right. But realize that in the last days, difficult times will come. Now, when Paul said this, that was that time. But he used the word in the last days. So in his mind, probably they were thinking it was their time. Oh, he is coming. Yes, it is our time. Let's get ready. Now, you come all the way to the time that we are in. He spoke at that time. So what is happening now? For men will be lovers of self. Me. Me, no regard for God. I don't care about what he thinks. It's just me. Lovers of money. I'm not saying don't try to work hard and get money. Get it. It's good. Okay? Yes. But when it becomes everything you think of, look at here, people will even kill people for money. That becomes lovers of money. So I have no regard for another human being. I will kill that person because I want the money. Okay. God will speak to you about that, you know. Boastful. Yes. Right there. Arrogant. Reviled, disobedient to parents. Imagine. Disobedient to parents, right? That was the time, though. Noah's time. It was there. Now, imagine what's happening now. Ungrateful. And how many of us get up in the morning, Father, I just thank you today that I'm able to breathe. You know, that I have this, I don't have to carry oxygen around with me everywhere I go. I don't have to pace like this, but I'm able to get out of my bed and think that, oh, life is okay. Even though I might feel something going on, some pain here and there, but it is okay for me now. Okay? How many of us are grateful people? All right. Unholy. Oh, do I have to say something about that? No, you imagine. But if you want to say that too, we can give the microphone to you. I just want to move on. But if you want to say something, you're free to do that. Okay? All right. Unloving. Not able to reconcile, right? Malicious gossip without self-control and on and on and on. I don't want to go on reading this and on and on and on. When you go home, you just read it. Okay? Right there. Everything. But I just want to, you see, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men. Now, you want to continue? Okay, let's move on. So this is what is happening. Understanding the times that we are living in. That is why in the beginning I had to clarify that I'm not saying that Jesus is coming on June 25th or this or that. No. Okay. A hand is up there.
I hope this won't take too long. I want to say I 100% agree with Kwame, but I want to say I have been disobedient to parents. I have been a lover of money. I have been these things. And God has provided a way. And I know Kwame's going to get there. But I want to say that this is not about judgment and pointing fingers. I know Kwame's going to get there. But this is to examine our own hearts. And I knew someone in my sphere who had fallen into a pretty big sin. And some ways there could have been compassion and saying, oh, I understand this and that and this and that. But what I did is I in love said, the wages of sin is death. You continue in this, it's going to bring death. And after that person had come out and had a revelation of their own place of falling, they said, the worst thing I could have ever done is said what I was doing okay. So they came back and thanked me for lovingly speaking the truth of the Word of God with love. There was no judgment, no condemnation, but we must stand on the truth of the Word of God that says, because I love you, I say to you, the wages of sin is death, and I can love you in it, no matter what the sin is and looks like, but I cannot say it's okay. I just felt compelled to say that.
Thank you. All right. We appreciate you. You know, it is good. That is why I like it like this, you know, because people say things that I probably was thinking, but it's not coming out. Or maybe I'm trying to say it, but, you know. So, we move on. All right. So, what is it that our time is being compared with that time? If you look at the time, we are the place that man is trying to play God. Our time now, we are trying to play God. Have you heard of Noah Harari? World Economic Forum. Have you heard of that? WEF. If you have not, little homework for you. Is that okay? Good. All right. He said, and I'm going to quote him, Homo sapiens, right? Is that sapiens or sapiens? Sapiens. Okay. Homo sapiens are in the process of becoming gods. homosexual, we are in the process. And so in his mind, we can merge technology to us. And we can do everything. So we don't need the God that created the heaven and the earth that holds everything together. We can do things on our own without him. Who is he? All right. This same person, you know, coined the term useful eaters. Useful eaters, those people that eat, but they are useful. So in his mind, people have to die. They call them useful eaters. They don't contribute anything to society. So he is thinking that he is God. You go and research about him, Noah, Harari, Yuval, he's a professor in Israel. All right. What happened in Noah's time? There was knowledge too. Sometimes we think we are the only people that have knowledge and all this stuff going on, right? So you tell me how God will give dimensions to somebody to build an ark. That ark is able to float on water. Now, if you read the account, it says, and God opened the earth and water was just coming out from under the earth. And then rain too, coming down. So he was able to build this. What kind of technology? I don't know. But I'm sure there probably was something there for him to build that to withstand this water that flooded the whole world. So Titanic was good, right? It was big with the technology they had. But what happened? It hit something. This time, Noah built this and was able to float wherever. I wasn't there, so I wouldn't tell you they had this technology or they didn't have this. But I'm saying that he couldn't have just built that massive thing without some kind of, you know, something there. All right. Move on. So you don't go and say, oh, the pastor is lying. Say there was this technology. Now, I'm just saying to give you a thought about something, okay? Yes. All right. So knowledge is abound so much. Look at the scientific processes that we have now. I was reading about this young, he's a Chinese professor. He was actually, he went to school here in America, Rice University, and he went back. He is a biophysics researcher, 39 years old. I believe now he's in jail, if he had not got out yet. His last few years, he told the world that he has been able to genetically edit babies' genes and have been able to implant that, and this person has been able to give birth. Now imagine, God said, I created, but we are saying that I'm going to take DNA and I will tweak it here and there. Cut this off, cut that off, or I don't know what they do in order to create something. So imagine the door we are trying to open, or we have not, if we have not opened already. The times that we live in are serious times. Now, do you think God will sit there and say, I have created people like this, my own image, I put my DNA in them? There's not a single person here that if you put your thumbprint there, it will be the same as mine. Is there? No. So that means this God made that special. He made you special. You are very dear to his heart. As you sit here, you are very important to him. But in our own mind, we want to do what? Create something. The times that we live in, are we understanding these times? Because at what point will God say, I'm just going to sit there and I'm let them go and make, I don't know, whatever they want to make. If you look at what is going on to technology is good. I'm not saying it's bad. But at what point do we use it to play God? I listened to a clip of one of the richest people, and he was talking about, you know, there's going to be a time where, you know, men can live for a long time because we have this technology that we will create. This, we will merge man with robot, merge man with, you know, implants, this, that, and be able to help men to live longer. Yes, you will do that. For how long? God will sit down and watch. During that time, there was secular philosophy. Everything was sin. So the whole society was moving in the same direction. So when you read it, say, and God, Noah had favor from God because he was a righteous person. I believe you have favor from God, right? You are righteous because of Jesus Christ. And so you have that favor from him. And so God had mercy over Noah. They moved society. Now, we are pushing things that it's making everybody, society, to accept it. Everybody to accept what is going on. It happened in the days of Noah. I wouldn't talk about sexual perversion. It is there. Deception. During that time, deception. The herd of Nephilim. Nephilim, the giant. And if you read, as they say, sons of God came and with daughters of men, and they made human beings that are renowned giants. Renowned, what does that mean? Renowned. So these were people that had it going on. They knew something. Hybrid. Right? Spirits, no demon, fallen angels coming with human beings. What is going on these days? We are trying to do a lot of hybrid stuff, right? All right. So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do as Christians? I will leave that up to you. Okay? You ask God what you are supposed to do. How you are supposed to live. I will just throw a little bit here and there. But the overall job is yours, is mine, to seek God. We must be intentional with God. We must be intentional with him. That means our priority, our relationship with him, we have to prioritize it. We have to prioritize our relationship with him. We must also not bow to social pressure. We must not bow to it. A lot of times it will cause. You see, when you read, you know, Jesus said so many things. Matthew 24, I'm not going to read it, but I'm just throwing it out there. When you get a chance, read it. Jesus talked about in the last days, and he said, you know, and they will give you up. Because you are standing for righteousness, right? And you will be killed for my name's sake. And all this, he said all this. Why? Now, what is happening now? It's like when you stand out as a Christian, it becomes like an odd person now. It used to be where, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a pastor. Oh, I'm this. And people are celebrating you, right? Now, we worship sin. We celebrate evil. And so when you say you are Christian and you are living for God, it's like you're an outcast. It is happening now. The times that we live in, it happened in Noah's time, right? And God, remember, God had mercy on him. The favor of God was on him. So in all this, I am not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you that the Bible says, the foundation of God stands sure. The Lord knows them that are his. Right? And let the people that name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. That is it. The foundation of God it stands sure. So the God that we serve, he is solid.
Yes.
He is safe.
Right.
He is the ark of safety. Noah built that ark, right?
Yeah.
It rained,
yeah.
And it rained,
yeah.
And it rained, and yet the water did not get in there. The ship did not break, you know, the ark did not break, because there is a God who is able to sustain his people. He is able to carry you through no matter what is going on. So in conclusion, do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. All right. Please, somebody's hand is up.
Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? So we're supposed to keep the faith. That's a scary verse. With all the turmoil going around, when, I mean, it's kind of calm right now. Will he find faith at the end? Will we be faithful and still keep our faith?
Amen. So let's keep the faith. Let's stand on the word of God, the principles of God. Okay. I like this.
This is starting to remind me a little bit of what our conversation on the way to church was with my cousins here from California visiting today. I was thinking this morning in my time before church, I was thinking of the scene in the book of Acts where Paul was getting toward the end of his ministry, and he's visiting this town Troas, which is in western Turkey, ancient city of Troy. And he goes there, I'm going to read a verse for you. It's the scene where the guy fell out of the window. Remember that one?
Yes.
Anyway, he says, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. That was around the time of Passover, days of unleavened bread. And in 5 days, joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued the message until midnight. And here's the thing that really spoke to me. Listen to this. There were many lamps in the upper room. What does that mean? Many lamps in the upper room. Many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. That doesn't mean there were a lot of chandeliers, a lot of candles. The individual believers were the lamps.
Ooh.
Right? I just finished reading a book by Eric Metaxas called The Letter to the American Church, and it's exactly what you're talking about today, Kwame, about how he ends the book, and after talking about all that's going on in this country, it's up to the church, the people of God, to be the light of the world, the lamps that we are, and to have the nerve and the courage to speak up and to speak into these situations and to risk being rejected, like
yeah.
We're saying. We just have to muster the courage and to know that God is with us. And actually, what that does is it makes it easier for the next person to speak up, for the next person to share, like Kathy did. Look, I love you, but the wages of sin is death. It's up to us to be the light and the salt of the salt of the earth.
Okay. Go ahead.
So this is a fascinating topic. That's intrigued me for a long time because I was in it for so long. But you're connecting a lot of dots for me today in the sense that in the garden, our desire was to be God, right? But if you look at society, we are giant, humans are giant bundles of need. We need power, we need money, we need influence, we need the cool stuff. And it kind of shows us that as humans, we were probably created by someone who could fill all that up for us. And so as believers in this time, in this era, you know, when we go to someone who doesn't know the Bible and doesn't understand the path that we've been on, we get to cultivate the language of loving on people who don't understand or don't understand yet. And they may not understand what sin is, but they may understand that you're getting life from something that has no life, like money, like winning, like success. There's no life there. We were designed for life from the only one who can give life. And it's a fascinating talk that you're doing today, and I really appreciate you going there. But thank you.
Thank you. All right. So we are about to conclude. So the last thing I would say is we must be different on how we live for God and not be consumed with business as usual and forget about the things of God. That is what I would say. I pray that the God of peace will strengthen you with might, you know, and give you the spirit of endurance, that you will not be moved from left and right, but you will be solid in him. And that when the wind, you know, like the water that was happening in the time of Noah, the ark was still there. Even though it was moving from place to place, it was still intact. So my prayer is that you will be intact, you will be strengthened, even though life's cares will sway you here and there, you still be solid in him and live a life that is worthy of him, as we all want to do. Shall we pray? Just 1 minute, why don't you say something to God? You know, we all, there are some things that probably we want God to do, or maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about something. Oh, this area, that area, whatever it is, just to him. Father, we are grateful to you. We bless you for being there for us today. Thank you for your mercy. We honor you in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cedarhousechurch.com.